Handsome Jack here. You're listening to Start Replay.
Pushy Snuggle Bites is my main squeeze.
I thought I would take some time away from battling Dr. Nefarious and introduce a brand new Start Replay podcast.
Presumably because you have half a brain in your head. Okay. Kisses.
Okay. Are we good to go? Is that...
Come on, Josh. Join in, Josh.
I can't.
Come on, Josh. No, Josh. With your finger, Josh. Put your finger in your mouth. No.
I can't do it.
Why not? Okay. Okay. Put it in like this. So it's, so you completely seal your mouth from the edge to edge with your finger and blow. No, don't blow out. Just blow enough to inflate, but keep your lips firmly against your finger. Almost. You get in there. You just got to get it right when you go. No, don't blow. Just hold the amount of pressure in your mouth. There you go.
Hey, I did it.
Right, that's the intro.
Yes.
Hello, welcome to Start Replay episode 32. You're listening to myself, Josh Ball, and tonight, I'm joined by Ben Seward.
Hello.
Who hasn't been in for a while. How you doing, Ben?
My voice is unusually high when it comes back.
Yeah.
When I listen to it, I don't know. Is it like this in person?
I think
so. Is this
so.
What I sound like?
Yeah.
I thought I was like all menacing and big.
No, you're not menacing.
Oh.
You're less... You're less Christian Bale's Batman, more Adam West's Batman.
Oh, jolly. Jesus.
Richard Evans is back.
Good evening.
And
or good day.
We are going to be talking about the Batman, the Ultimate Edition, the slightly extended scenes they've introduced into that. And then we're going to finish with our thoughts on Suicide Squad, which has caused quite a divided community with filmgoers, fans,
as
and critics.
As all DC stuff seems to be doing.
Yeah,
as
it all seems to be doing at the moment.
DC for life.
So I guess we should just start straight away with first thoughts on the extended scenes of Batman v Superman, and do you think they should have been included in the theatrical cut? Ben?
I'm glad they kept some things out. It might have made it a bit too much to watch, because when we watched it at, 2 a.m.?
Mm.
What was it, Friday?
I think it was like 3:30, wasn't it?
Anyway, yeah, we watched obviously one of the first viewings in the showcase.
IMAX.
I don't know.
We went to Waterloo. We went to IMAX and we saw it really fucking early.
It's a cinema brand. One of the big ones with the people that walk in and annoy
you. BFI IMAX. British Film Institute.
One of the many.
And all the tubes were closed when we went because there was like a terrorist attack.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
I don't think there was.
There was armed police everywhere.
There was armed police everywhere. And yeah.
We were listening to the news and it was like, yep, this is closed. And we were like, let's get a bus.
Yeah, yeah. And then we got a bus.
Let's walk.
So,
sorry, yeah. Getting away from topic. I thought it was good. They kept it very streamlined. They kept it between Batman and Superman. They didn't really keep in any of the extras that we wouldn't go into.
Yeah, but don't
much.
You think all the extended scenes, like the Africa scene and the reason is, you know, the little reasons to things.
It helped add more colour into the story and why it's happening and how they
would
have come
say,
to some conclusions.
It didn't help to add literal colour because it's a dark movie.
It is. There's a lot of blood now.
There's more blood.
Yes.
More violence.
Yes. More red.
Do you think all of that should make it R-rated, though?
Oh, I thought it should have been an R-rated movie from the start. If you do a Batman v Superman, unless they're going to be all jolly buddies at the end.
Well, yeah. But the actual like content, do you think that necessarily meant it should be R-rated?
Not really, no. Not in today's,
I think maybe if
rating,
they had some sexual intercourse,
most
right?
It would have been worth was a 15. I still think that could have been a 12A.
Yeah, even with the extended.
I think I would have been all for more gore, more like, I don't know, Superman breaking one of Batman's legs.
Yeah, that would have been interesting.
I feel like watching that, having like not seen the film for quite a long time, it's quite difficult to distinguish what the actual added scenes were without you telling me this is an added scene.
Yeah.
So I couldn't tell which was which.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you have to have seen the first one quite a lot in order to instantly recognise what was added.
I've seen it twice so far, and well, that was the third time watching it, and I still couldn't.
I think
they're
I saw
well
it three or four times.
They're well
before.
Integrated. I was really surprised how well it went, like the scene in the prison, where it just turned
minutes.
And it just picked up from where it would normally pick off.
Oh yeah,
I mean, thought that was very well done. I didn't even think. I was thinking, oh, it was a complete different scene that I wasn't even aware of in the movie. And then, oh wait, no, it's this scene.
Yeah, it's the same scene, but like just a portion of it cut out, and
yeah,
it was all, yeah, I mean, of course, for the theatrical cut, it was trimmed down by half an hour.
Well, the added half an hour was split up very evenly.
Oh, yeah, very sparsely throughout the movie.
You couldn't really tell.
Oh, yeah, there were small...
You didn't really feel it all as a big, oh, this is all very new action right now.
I thought it was going to be. I thought it was, they were going to introduce things like a cameo from the Joker and all these other bits and pieces.
Because the only other extended version of films I can remember are the first two Harry Potter films.
Right.
And there's like...
What about Lord of the Rings? Didn't they do extended for that as well?
I haven't seen them. But the Harry Potter ones, is like a couple of minute extended scenes in there. Like completely new scenes that go on for a minute or two. And you can tell they're new scenes.
Mm. Well, it was a very, I guess during production, they were just very,
cutthroat?
No, I wouldn't say cutthroat, but very,
particular.
Yeah, about what they took out, but they did it well. They didn't just pick out, oh, let's take out this part. It was, let's take this bit off here, this bit off here, this bit off here.
Yeah.
It doesn't really change the story too much.
There was already so much in Batman v Superman to be honest, that could have been stretched across two films.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't need to put all of that in it.
No, I think if they'd done
we've
it
already said
two
this
films,
previously with...
it would have been a better outcome, especially with the Wonder Woman stuff. If they had expanded on that in the second film a lot more, that would have been better.
I think they could have had a better critical rating as well, because a lot of the issues was the film was quite rushed in areas.
But again, I did, when I first walked out the cinema, I thought, well...
The pacing was all over the place.
The story didn't really make sense. They jumped from one part to another, and there was just no kind of... tying.
I think that seems to be a bit of a trend with DC films, because as we'll get onto it later, I felt the beginning of Suicide Squad was quite rushed as well.
Suicide Squad was just like full pelt from the beginning.
It's like a film on speed.
Oh yeah, no mate, I think that's sort of how it should be. But yeah, no, of course we'll talk about that in a bit. I do like the extended scenes in the small bits in Batman v Superman, like the Ace Chemicals you can see in the background, or the CCTV footage of Batman getting into Lex Luthor's compound.
Little clip of Cyborg playing football.
Yeah, just informing a few more characters and their backgrounds. And, yeah, just the one or two extra scenes, which you then sort of look back at the original cut and think, oh, that's why that was happening, or that's why that happened, because that makes a little bit more sense. But overall, I don't think it made it a greatly improved film.
What?
Having the extended
like I said, it helped with the visualization of how they're trying to frame Superman.
Yeah.
And the story of the woman who was trying to fight at the courts for what had happened. Because other than that first clip in the courtroom where you see her after it happened, that was it. You didn't know about the rest of the movie.
Yeah, the Nairobi, the woman from Nairobi and all that had happened. And we didn't even... Because the biggest thing that stuck in my mind throughout that film is, what the hell was the point of that Nairobi scene at the beginning? Because we don't see any of the burning, we don't see any of that. All we see is the soldiers being shot by these prototype bullets.
And who's that man?
And
Who's
that man with the camera? And then at the end you find out in the credits it's Jimmy Olsen, a big character they just kill off. And then it's not until the extended cut where you realise, oh... Yeah, they burnt the guy, so I guess they might have thought it was Superman, but I still don't understand why they used the bullets. And I still wonder to this day, do the bullets melt when they interact with heat? Is that why they just disappear? And I don't know. There's still a lot of it that doesn't make sense to me, personally.
I don't think the bullets were that much. They were just like a plot mover. They didn't have that much background to them. I mean...
Can either of you actually tell me why the hell the soldiers were shot by prototype bullets that Lex Luthor made?
Because Lex Luthor gave them.
Yeah, but why?
Because Lex Luthor had some and went, oh, screw it, I'll give some to these guys, and these guys can shoot some Nairobi people and that'll be it.
And how does that help frame Superman?
It doesn't. It just...
It's a plot mover. It moves the plot forward.
It moves the plot forward. It gives Lois...
I guess there's no trail.
With.
There's no, like, oh, these guys bought these bullets from an ammunition down the street. Oh, those guys.
Yeah.
I guess Lex Luthor had complete control of, oh, a box of bullets went missing. Oh, well, it's my own stock.
Yeah. They could have done that a lot better.
I guess they could have covered it up, but in the long term, the only person that really cared was Lois Lane. That was because she had a notebook.
Yeah.
If it had been, oh, we fired every single round into the wall and none of them went into a notebook, no one would care.
You see, I think more importantly, the biggest question here, aside from that, is do you think the topless scene of Clark Kent in the bathtub with Lois Lane added,
made the movie?
It made the movie, right?
It changed the whole dynamic of the whole movie.
It changed my dynamic, I tell you now. Changed.
Not only that, there was a topless scene of Bruce Wayne.
There was a whole body.
There was an ass scene.
Ben Affleck. There was an ass scene of Ben Affleck.
Do you think that full makeout session with Batman and Superman.
that was also.
Martha Kent did not look happy when she saw them making out.
No.
Because, of course, we found out in an extended scene that Martha Wayne is actually having a little.
Martha
Wayne has come back from the dead.
Martha Kent's having a little fling with Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, that also did not happen. When she found out that her son and her lover were also having a fling, she was not happy. So she had a
so basically
fling
there's
with
a huge love
Amy
quad tangle
with Lois Lane, between
Martha, Lois, Clark and Bruce.
But none of them know it's each other because they all wear their costumes.
Because Lois and Martha wear very, very...
They do.
And of course, cheeky Lex costumes. Luthor and Doomsday felt left out, so they had their own little fling.
Well, this is apparently some fan fiction we've made of some weird sexual encounter kind of DC movie. So, I'm just trying to sum up the extended edition. There is an extra 30 minute of footage, one or two tiny bits which are quite cool, but on the whole isn't entirely necessary.
Verdict is don't buy it.
Wait until one of your friends buy it,
go around and then watch bits of it and do a podcast off of for no cost. Win-win.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So just make sure your friend has it and then watch it theirs. What would you increase the film's like score?
I guess by like a point.
Yeah. By a point.
0.1.
What would you have given it to begin with?
Initially I think I said 7.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd have gone 7 as well.
7.1.
Good fun. Richard?
Yeah, 7.1 as well, exactly.
All right. I guess same for me, to be fair.
Yeah, like I said, it added a bit more background to it, but it didn't change any of the dynamic of the story.
No. No. Not majorly, anyway.
It just tied some ends, and that was it.
I think I preferred Man of Steel.
Well, of course, there were. Yeah, I did a little bit too. Yeah. And of course, there are those bits with Lex Luthor talking to Batman at the end, so a bit of an extended scene of him saying, you know, he's being transferred to Arkham Asylum, which is pretty cool, so hopefully we'll see that in Justice League. Yeah. We'll see Arkham Asylum there. And there's the bit of Lex Luthor talking to the alien. Which with the mother boxes, I think, as well. So that's also in there, which is another big plot point which they didn't decide to add to the film, which is a bit strange. And yeah, so I mean, on the whole,
did they not even include that in the extended?
No, they did. I just skipped past it.
Sorry.
For those who are listening, we didn't actually like watch the 3-hour movie. I just skipped to the parts that had been extended, and.
Because we're thorough and we like to make sure we get a job done well.
Oh, yeah. We like to make sure we get the job done well and we like to just execute in a clean fashion. So that's pretty much it for our thoughts on the BVS Ultimate Edition. It's a shame, actually, the disc that I got from Warren didn't come with the special features. I would have been quite interested to see those. But I think the more important thing this podcast is Suicide Squad. Richard and myself have seen it twice. Ben saw it the other day with us for the first time. And it's definitely been divisive amongst critics and fans. Fans have loved it. Critics have hated it and slated it. And I think have gone a bit too harsh
on the actual film. Well, I really enjoyed that it's got its own style and feeling compared to Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah.
It's a lot more fun, which I enjoyed.
Oh no, it did its job very well. It came across as how you would read it in the comic. Very jaunty, very
jazzy.
A lot of action all the time. There's not any sort of Batman brooding with Alfred. It's bang straight into action or a bit of banter between the members. At most, you get a bit of argument with Amanda Waller and one of the team. That's about it.
And the Batman scenes were amazing.
I thought they were, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
As a nice extra. They didn't even have to do that, which is very nice. They just dropped that in.
I don't know how it's getting lower ratings than Batman vs. Superman. Yeah.
I think there just seems to be an inherent hate of DC with critics.
I just think they were expecting something else. They were thinking, Batman vs. Superman's been out Man of Steel, they set a tone, they set very serious, very story driven, very steady flows of action, like it was just happening as it was going, rather than just explosions everywhere and action here, there and there, and just fireworks.
Mm-hmm. I think Ben and I only disliked one thing in the film, and that was Killer Croc not being savage enough.
Yeah, I mean, he was funny, he made some jokes, which I liked. I liked that he did more with his character, but he was quite unnerving in scenes,
but yeah, he wasn't savage enough.
No, he wasn't savage enough.
Apparently, there was a scene that was cut which included Killer Croc. Mm.
He was vomiting up like goat bits, wasn't he?
I think he ate it at a helicopter or something.
Right, apparently, they're in the helicopter with the Navy SEALs, and then Killer Croc vomits up undigested goat and just eats it all in front of them.
Oh, nice.
I think there's another bit
as well when Killer Croc was working for the mob and Batman comes across him, so that was cut. And there's apparently tons of Joker scenes cut as well.
There's tons of scenes in it which were cut, which made it a much lighter movie, because the scenes that were cut were like Captain Boomerang was actually a racist and sexist.
So what you mean is the scenes that got cut made the movie lighter?
The scenes that got cut, if they were kept in, the movie would have been a lot darker.
Yeah, so the scenes that got cut made it lighter.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you just said.
Yeah.
Actually, if you'd left the racist part in and the fact that Slipknot is a rapist, that would have made the film lighter, so please give them. Yeah, kidding, of course.
He can get anywhere up your trousers. That man. He can climb any tower.
They wanted to put it in to make him seem like an unsympathetic character. I wasn't really feeling much sympathy for him anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a bit annoying to see a Native American... Well, he's a First Nations actor, which is Canadian natives, get killed off so quickly.
Well, I thought, was he just in there as a proof? Because I didn't...
What do you mean?
As the character. Personally, it's not who I'd known.
No, it's someone I didn't know. I mean, no, there is someone who's...
I'm sure it's a real character, but not one of the main ones. So when he cropped up, I was thinking, okay... what's happening here? When they killed him, I thought, okay, it was just there to prove a point. That was it. It was just easier to do it this way.
Of course, so with the beginning of the film, it doesn't hang around, it just goes straight into it. Mm-hmm. And you see Amanda Waller
trying
to set the task force up and explaining to the government officials of how they've captured or who they've captured. And they've captured Deadshot and Killer Croc and Diablo, El Diablo and Harley and everything. And so I really like the Deadshot bit, of course, Deadshot played by Will Smith, and how Batman just swoops down elegantly out of nowhere in Gotham and then takes him down in front of his daughter, and then his daughter stands between him and Batman, just crying, telling him not to do it. That's such a sweet scene. And I just love those Batman scenes as well, because he's not working with Superman or any other people. It's more focused on him.
Gives you a sense of what the Batman solo film is going to be like.
Oh, it was so good. So good. And he gets his back cuffs out of nowhere.
I feel like that film gave you the greatest insight into what the DC universe could be like, because Batman vs Superman and Man of Steel felt very set in the real world, whereas Suicide Squad sort of felt set in an alternate sort of comic book style world.
Yeah, it was a bit more comic booky.
Well, outside of Suicide Squad, they painted a very bleak world. Oh, the possibility of war, super beings.
And then the film set on villains makes it a lot more lighthearted.
That's it. Like, high jokey, they don't give a crap. They're on, let's blow up the world, the city's in ruins, let's go to a bar.
I think it would have made a lot more sense, and obviously this is a prime example of why DC didn't have enough under their belt before starting all this. I think it would have been better to start with a solo Batman movie to jumpstart this entire... series to give you a tone of DC.
I don't agree.
Or maybe Man of Steel, and then instead of doing a direct continuation, do a solo Batman film, and then a solo Wonder Woman, and a solo this, and then have them.
I don't think they should have done a Batman v Superman. They should have done a Justice League. But like you're saying, I agree. They should have done. I don't agree with.
I think Justice League would have been a step too far, because all of that shit would have had to come together.
I don't think them introducing Aquaman, Flash, blah 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 in Justice League is a good idea. It's going to be the same thing as Batman v Superman. It's going to be too much happening all at once.
Well, they haven't done.
And you're going to walk away feeling like it was rushed again.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
I mean, I think the Wonder Woman movie's coming out before Justice League.
I think it's close though.
Yeah, I think it's like summer next year.
Well, their issue is they haven't done. Well, they've rushed their films along to catch up with Marvel, and they haven't given themselves enough time to establish the universe like Marvel did of all their films.
Such a silly decision. And apparently, all these heavy edits that Warner are making to movies.
Yeah, and the directors keep on denying that there's been producer tampering in the films, but there obviously has been.
There must be.
For like what?
Well, just changing scenes drastically and making the film something that it wasn't originally and changing the view.
The scenes edited out of Batman vs. Superman made it a much less violent film, less controversial film, like all the drone strikes and stuff. If, as in the full film, I reckon that would have been quite controversial.
Well, that's I mean, until it's released, it's up to them what they put out. So I always take it as a finished project. I don't care. You know me, I don't watch trailers, I don't read up on any news. True. I'll just go into a finished product and I'll take it at that, because that's what they want to show you. That's all they want you to judge.
Yeah.
So they don't want you to know all these trailers that come out. Oh, it looked completely different in the first trailer to what it is now. Don't give a crap. So I won't watch any propaganda, I won't watch anything that was happening, because they could paint a completely different picture and go, wait a minute, we want to make this about Batman.
Yeah.
And then just change the whole thing. So I never go in with any sort of bias or thought or any sort of meaning. So that's why I always take it
out. Everyone else is subjected to a ton of media beforehand. So, I mean, of all the characters, there are some pretty big ones in Suicide Squad making their first time appearance on screen, such as Deadshot, I think, was played really, really well by Will Smith.
Deadshot's been in a movie before. I thought it was in one of the Batman movies.
No, he's been in The Flash. No, Arrow.
He's been in animated and TV.
It might be an animated movie
that
I'm thinking of, actually.
But Will Smith, I think, of course, you're always going to get a good performance from Will Smith.
Underrated performance was El Diablo. He's a very dramatic.
Oh yeah, he was really good.
Yeah, I liked at the end when he changed into the big sort of demon.
Yeah, hulking dude.
Beat down every guy.
We should probably say that this will include spoilers. if you haven't noticed already, this is probably going to be a bit of a spoiler cast for Suicide Squad.
And Batman v Superman, if you haven't seen it yet.
Well, yeah, but that should have been implied. Harley Quinn, played by Margot Robbie. Who is hot.
I went into that thinking she was going to be absolutely awful, but it was really good.
I thought she'd be
really
good.
I'm sorry, because I said she's hot, I also have to say a guy is hot, so I'm going to say Deadshot Will Smith is hot.
Oh, Deadshot had a good beard.
I thought he was going to say me.
I loved everyone.
I loved his pimp
hot.
Hat when
Joker.
He was out with his daughter.
Hot. What? His pimp
hat.
You liked his pimp
hat. Didn't you?
No, I really like that. It just made me want to start wearing a hat again.
I know. I always wear a hat, but I was thinking, could I pull that hat off?
But you think Margot Robbie did a good job, yeah?
Oh, yeah, I think she did a fantastic job.
What do you think
about
her tight pants, which got a lot of attention, apparently, and people think they were...
Yeah, a lot of people were saying that the film was quite sexist in the way they were depicting Harley Quinn, but...
Wow. That's Harley Quinn.
Well, the past 5 years, that's the character she's become.
Yeah.
I think because of the Arkham games, but my younger sister was talking about this film. She was getting really annoyed that people were calling it sexist. I said, well, Harley, when she first came on, was wearing like a full bodysuit. She was like, yeah, even
was
then it was really tight.
Yeah, it was always skin tight. There was nothing really left to the imagination. And, it goes well. I mean, you got to think, what does El Diablo wear? He's topless half the time.
Yeah.
So.
Will Smith. He's walking around.
At some point, I guess.
Jared
Leto's always walking around just like a coat.
I like the scene with Harley and the guard at the beginning. And she's like, I want to play. Nah, sweetie, you put 7 of my guys in the hospital, whatever he says. You know, no one's going to play with you.
I think that was a nice dynamic. They did Bell Reeve very well. But, I was thinking, they're going to get Amanda Waller wrong, they're going to get Bell Reeve wrong.
I did see that first scene when Harley was saying, oh, yeah, I sleep where I want with whoever I want. And I was like, they're not going to just make her a massive sex object in this film, are they? Luckily, they didn't carry it on completely the way through the movie. And actually was allowed to develop as a character.
And, of course, each character was sort of brought on screen in quite a flashy way with, the statistics and stuff, which is quite cool, and, slow-motion bullets flying down into Deadshot's hand, which is really, really cool. And then the introduction of Margot Robbie as Harley Quinzel, and then talking to Joker, Jared Leto's Joker, and sort of that transformation there. I was like, I want a machine gun. and then she's like, you want a machine gun? And then it all sort of, swaps.
That was done very well.
What are you going to do? Kill me, Mr. J?
I didn't like the bit, though, because with all the other characters, they showed him getting captured.
Mm-hmm.
Except from with Killer Croc, they just showed him in his cell.
No, he was getting captured in the sewer.
Yeah, he got captured in the sewer.
When he got the tasers on him.
I thought that was him in his cell.
No, I think that was
because there was a... They sent armored guards down.
Because they said the bat chased him out of Gotham. Mm-hmm. He was in Louisiana.
He tried going somewhere else and found it worse there. I think he tried going into the sewers of Belle Reve, didn't he?
I'm not too sure.
Because that's where Louisiana is, the swamp, isn't it? And that's where Belle Reve is set, in the swamp. I don't know if it's the exact place. It's not actually where it's set in the comics, I believe. Because the Belle Reve I'm aware of is just a massive... it's built into like a side of a mountain. Again, different takes on it, different aspects.
I like the bit where the guard goes past Deadshot's cell and hands him some food. He's like, what's this? Oh, it's got, you know, toenails and it's
red droppings.
Yeah, and he's like, do you just threaten a fellow, you know?
Did you threaten an employee?
Yeah, I did.
We'll have some fun.
there was some pretty cool...
There was some sexual tension there.
Definitely.
I think that guard was a very nice part, obviously. They know what they're dealing with. They understand they're villains, but they have a...
One part that did annoy me was when they're, you know, force-feeding Harley Quinn food and one of the flashbacks, and he just takes a selfie with her.
Yeah,
it's spring break. I felt like that sort of didn't belong.
Yes,
it felt really out of place.
It did feel a little bit weird. But then it was quite wacky as well. It was just kind of like...
I think that was just, again, the take of the... They are essentially blacklisted criminals. They don't exist. So who gives a crap if you're going to start...
I mean, that guard was there for a lot of comedic effect.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I've seen the actor before and I've forgotten his name.
I've seen him in a few things. But at the end when Harley said... what'd she say as she was getting carted off to the helicopter? When she handed him the phone... And he says,
make sure you tell the Joker that I helped you.
I followed through or something. And she says something. And
goes,
what do you mean by that, Harley?
You're so
screwed. Does that imply that he's dead now? Because you never saw him again.
No, you saw him after that getting taken to the back of the casino he was in, and then the Joker.
That was before.
Because that's when he gave him the phone.
That's when he gave him the phone to give
and
to
then
Harley.
That's when he gave him the phone.
He didn't appear at the end, did he?
No, because I said he just disappeared. So. Did he get killed?
I just want to know how the Joker survived a helicopter crash.
That was reworked apparently because it was supposed to portray the Joker just pushing Harley out to try and kill her or something, and then they reworked it where he got
knocked off.
That was
a different take on the whole Joker Harley Quinn relationship
like
that film.
No, I think
he actually seemed to care about her.
He does. He cares in the sense of if he's the one hurting her, it's fine, but anyone else can't. Because that's always been the thing.
So. Well, let's talk a little bit about Jared Leto's Joker. Of course, he received a lot of media attention during its filming for being quite method in his approach to the character, and he wouldn't break character when he was on set.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the actors have been received gifts from his Joker character.
Mm-hmm. I reckon that was played up a lot by the media, though.
I think some parts were, but he did send...
Yeah, they did send stuff to him.
Yeah, which is quite cool. And it must be quite intense to be an actor there and then just to see this other guy who's just in character. You don't actually meet him until, like, the press event or something. It's like, oh, hey, Jared. We worked together. It's like, it's so weird. It's so strange. But that beginning scene when he's in the club... I think that was the thing that was most jarring to me. There was such a new Joker. He was there with all the chains and the gold watch and things in the club. And then the guy's like, oh, I'm Jay, you know, this and that. And then Harley's doing her sort of like stripper pole dance.
And he brings her over, tries to give her to the guy.
Yeah, he's like,
I'm
going to
no
give
beef.
You to this. Hog hogger. Which is really wacky. Really fucking wacky. He's like, I don't want no beef.
Like, oh, you don't want no beef?
You don't want no beef? You don't want this? And then, oh my god, it's so fucking insane. And then directly after that, you get that car chase of them in the purple chrome sports car, Lamborghini. And the Batmobile just chasing them. Oh my god, that's
Batman
so cool.
Comes out just one punches Harley.
That's so cool. That's so, so cool. And he's like, we have company.
Joker did just leave her in the car.
Yeah.
So if you're
exactly.
concerned that maybe he was too lovey-dovey, he didn't care about that point. Was he?
And then Batman just swoops straight in with a breathing mask and then just like, poof, pop in the face. No, I do like that scene where he's carrying Harley to the car. I think that's really cool.
Just first time I watched it, it didn't look like he was, like, you know, trying to give her the kiss of life. It looked like he was just trying to make out with her.
Yeah, that's why.
Like, you cheeky perf.
The whole that's I just want to see more of that dynamic with Batman.
Batman kissing and all the, Harley. Well, I want to see more of it. More!
Batman's dynamic with all the villains. And that's sort of where it stopped seeing Batman, which is a shame.
Well, Batman's solo film, there's rumours of the Arkham
I know,
Arkham story.
Being set in Arkham, that would be so good.
And it's after? Or before? Is it after or before?
I'd presume that...
Well, if it was after...
It was... I presume that it would be set in the same timeline as all these other movies.
Or if it was after Suicide Squad, there'd be a few characters that, like, maybe couldn't be in it.
Yeah.
Oh, who knows what happens between now and the Suicide Bat movie, how many people get taken to jail. Suicide Squad 2.
It's going to be a while off anyway, isn't it?
But yeah, Jared Leto's Joker, I think, was just so fun. And the scene of him and Harley, when Harley Quinzel becomes Harley Quinn and jumps into the vat of acid in Ace Chemicals after Harley's looking down the stairwell and she has this flashback.
Yeah.
And how just that whole dynamic of him, you know, saying, would you die for me? No. Would you live for me? And it's like, oh, God. Yeah, it's this whole, he just
and
looks.
The music complements awesome. That scene really well. The music complemented the movie really well.
Yeah, it was a bit out of context for me at parts because I'm always used to such an orchestrated film soundtrack as opposed to real life songs being introduced.
I love real life songs. And
I normally go with orchestral when it comes to movies like this. Oh, but yeah. I think with the movie with Suicide Squad, the whole...
It fit with the style.
Yeah, yeah, it did very well. If you had like a Hans Zimmer going... As he's falling, it wouldn't really fit so well.
Yeah, I know.
Like a xylophone going down when Joker's running.
I'm just trying to think of another cool Joker scene in there. I guess the only other major Joker scene is when he's in the helicopter. And they find out the helicopter's been hijacked.
Yeah, like,
and
when he's like, it's turning. And
he's it's a very dramatic orchestral scene where Harley's walking up to the helicopter jumps on.
Yeah, yeah, that was cool. Oh, that was so cool. And he's like, and then Harley gets in the helicopter and he's like, oh, pudding. And then he's like, I'd do anything for you. And I've got some grape soda and a bearskin rug waiting.
That grape soda's not going to be nice any longer.
Nope.
Bit warm now.
And of course then you think the Joker's died and then right at the end he breaks Harley out of jail, which is cool. But that whole dynamic, oh my God. So cool.
But it's a bit unrealistic that he broke her out of Belle Reve is like the one that you can't break out of.
Okay, well maybe that, but
the only time that anyone's ever broken out of it is when every single member of the every single metahuman that was in there worked together to break out.
Well, what did you think of the film's villain being Enchantress? I quite like Cara Delevingne.
I wasn't expecting her.
She did a good job, actually.
I liked her as an actress. Again, the background to the character, didn't really know that much about.
Neither did I.
It was a good villain in regards to it helped because the whole being able to psychically bring up their most wanted desires and things. That helped bring
Harley
you a bit
Quinn
more.
Thinking that she'd marry the Joker without all his makeup and having kids. It was just like a normal marriage.
It'd just be normal. That was her thing, wasn't it? It was said that she pressed the button on the washing machine and it was normal.
Yeah.
And Deadshot, rather than seeing his daughter, it was killing the bat. Yeah. That is his biggest ambition. It's not, let's get my daughter, let's have a family, let's have a nice, happy ever after. It's kill the bat. Or... because that's his
thing. That was such a cool scene where he did the first Hitman thing and he set up the approach and he was like, you know, I don't see no money in my account, and then he was like, okay, here it is,
double it
for being a dickhead. It was just that's why I was so amped for quite a lot of the scenes of the film, and then critics have just gone 24-26% on
26%. It's Rotten Tomatoes. The critics have really been annoying me.
Jesus Christ.
Recent sort of the panning they've given of DC films, I just don't trust critic reviews anymore.
This problem is, then what they're trying to compare it with, there's no comparative for this movie. You can't compare it to any Marvel. The closest thing you can compare it to is Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. It has a lighter tone, but again, no.
I mean, everyone had their own what's the word, their own expectations mm-hmm. for this movie of what they thought it was going to be like, and it was very different to a lot of people's expectations.
Oh, it was a very
I would have liked
movie.
To see more Batman, more Joker, of course. But
that's
overall,
not what the movie is. It's Suicide Squad. They're not really ever featured in the comics. If they are, it's only ever a cameo, like you've seen.
Yeah.
So I think, like I said, I thought it was done very, very well.
Yeah. I'm quite glad that you liked it, because you're quite hard to please sometimes.
Oh, yes. Especially with DC.
It was nice when we spoke to you afterwards, and you said, there's just one thing I didn't like, and it was Killer Croc.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough, I didn't know if you were going to like the Joker. I did like the Killer Croc.
I like Killer Croc. It just wasn't enough for me.
I liked how it was all prosthetics, aside from CGI, because it made it so much more believable.
I liked the way he spoke, the way he acted. It's just he could have been scripted as being a bit more savage.
Yeah.
He fit in well with the rest.
Yeah.
Another scene I really liked, and it was just in that flashback scene of Harley becoming Harley Quinn. And it's a bit where she's dancing with the Joker in his tuxedo, and she's wearing the Jester suit, which is like the proper iconic thing. And there's that pose where they're together, and that's actually based on a very famous comic book cover. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Ben, have you seen it?
I don't remember what the comic book's called.
So if I just type in Harley Joker tux pick, and then it should.
You type dick pick.
Harley Joker dick pic, and it is when it loads that picture.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they were imitating in the film, and it's just that's where you really see that they're getting a lot of it right in terms of it's a movie made for the fans, like the director's already said. There was a really weird, of course this scene wasn't in it.
Yeah, Joker with a burnt face wearing a tux. That's probably after he escaped the helicopter,
yeah.
No, it is. And so, of course, that bit, I think, is when he comes across the Suicide Squad in the tunnels or the subway. And, as has been reported, has been a lot cut from the film. And it's just a bit...
Are they planning to do like a...
I'd hope so.
Ultimate edition?
I'd like to think so. I mean, if David Ayer, the director, said that the film was made for fans, I'd like to think that the Blu-ray would also be for fans. There was a really weird video about one of the main songs made in the film where Jared Leto was in the music video as the Joker.
Is it a Purple Lamborghini?
Yeah, Purple Lamborghini music video. Because if I type that in... and I don't know if anyone listening to this has seen it. If you go to YouTube and type in
Purple Rain
Lamborghini,
it's there.
Heathens.
Let's see if we can see it. Where would it be? Oh, this one, right? Yeah, so this is the official video. And it's just a bit bizarre because you see this Joker character in a music video. And you're probably going to hear it a little bit louder in a sec. And it just doesn't make sense for Jared Leto to have put himself into. It just looks really weird.
Imagine with Skrillex as well.
Yeah, exactly, with Skrillex. Imagine if he was... he was probably in character then, doing full-on method. And he's like, Joker, we want you to come into a music video. Okay.
This is really weird.
He looks really annoyed in the music video that he's there.
Yeah, so that's just really weird. I don't know why the hell he did that. So yeah, final thoughts. You really liked it, Ben. Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad, I give it a strong 9.
Strong 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, well, Richard. I saw it. It's beaten Guardians of the Galaxy for the best August release.
Yeah, it has. Of course, it has made 130 in the States, I think.
Yeah.
With figures like that, how can the critics?
How can the crickets just crick along?
How can they say they've given it a fair rating? Because a critic score is based on everything, including what it's going to do in the office.
I guess.
Well, it is. When a critic takes into account its appeal, how good the movie is, and what the box office results are going to be.
Yeah.
That's got a good critic take to go, okay, personally I didn't like it, but it's going to do well because of
X. Yeah,
yeah,
rather
than, it was crap, it didn't make me laugh,
yeah,
there was no shit. Superman, where was Superman?
But Superman. The audience reviews have been much kinder as well.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say 8.5, 9. What do you have it? I preferred it to Guardians of the Galaxy.
So did I.
Suicide Squad, we put that in. There might be some new headlines.
7.1 IMDb.
Suicide Squad fan suing for false advertising of the lack of Joker scenes, which is just bullshit. But we've gone Rotten Tomatoes and
really
see one or two reviews from here.
I'm really coming to disdain Rotten Tomatoes. I know that they just combine loads of reviews to
so
give it an overall rating.
This is what happens when the comic book fanboys have taken over the asylum. It is damaged goods from the get-go, the kind of film grown in a petri dish in Hollywood. What the fuck? What the fuck are these people saying?
So Colin... Sir
Colin Covert.
Covert from the Star Tribune.
He looks like he knows what he's talking about.
Mm. If I have not yet convinced you of the movie's astonishingly slipshod quality, I'm unlikely ever to do so. To say that the movie loses the plot would not be strictly accurate, for that would imply that there was a plot to lose. Oh my god.
These are like people going,
holy
these
shit.
Kids these days, yeah, with their music, exactly, and their lights and their tattoos.
Exactly. Well, I will say that they're saying that it was, you know, a film made for and by comic know, DC fanboys. Well, I went with my sister and my dad. My sister's like read one or two Harley Quinn comics. That's all she's ever read. Mm-hmm. She loved the film.
Oh, did she like it? Yeah,
yeah, and my dad, he's only ever read Spider-Man comics, and that was back in the 70s. And he loved the film too.
Yeah,
he knew nothing about any of these characters, and he loved it.
And my girlfriend even liked it. She really enjoyed it. And we went to the midnight viewing.
Here. Look at this one here.
Suicide Squad is disorganized, colorful trash, slathered in embossed fonts and spray paint, missed opportunities, whiffed almost jokes and half-baked ideas.
It's really a good one now.
Let's find a good one.
But that to me, was that not a good indication of what Suicide Squad wanted to be?
Like I said earlier,
it doesn't have a standard plot. It isn't a grey story. It's everywhere explosions, fireworks, because that's what it is. There's something happening all the time. There's all the characters are psychopaths. They don't have a straight line of thought. They don't have a straight progression of action. They go this, that, other. Like I said, middle of a city, a massive creature destroying the world, not a block away. They go to a bar to have some drinks.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, where are you going to see Superman or Batman doing that? You
know,
they're not going to walk. Let's have a few shots. No, because that is what the movie's about. It's not anything to do with, oh, let's make a good movie. Let's make a movie that sticks true to a comic. Let's make a movie that makes sense if you know the lore to the characters. And that's why I like it so much.
Where can you find good reviews?
The ones with the red tomato next to them.
Is it?
Yeah, because that means they're fresh.
Oh, it wants so desperately to be subversive and irreverent in the manner of Fight Club, or more likely Deadpool, and yet the most shocking thing about it is how risk averse it turns out to be. Now I'm trying to find good reviews.
Well,
are there any
positive? Positives.
Okay, maybe we should look at these. Yeah, like positive reviews. 3 out of 5. It's probably best to think of Suicide Squad as a primer, an entry into a side world of the DC universe that may pay bigger benefits in later films. I'd say so.
I don't think any critic
liked it. 3.5 out of 4. Compared to its ilk, Suicide Squad is an excellently quirky, proudly raised middle finger to the staid superhero movie establishment.
B minus.
For DC, which blew it with Batman v Superman last spring, Suicide Squad is a small step forward, but could have been a giant leap.
4 out of 5 there.
4 out of 5. A twisted B-side to some of the slicker comic book movies.
I'd say it's a B movie.
Oh yeah,
B
movie.
A B movie to comic book movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a B movie in itself. There was no budget issues I noticed.
It wasn't like B movie at all. There weren't hives. There weren't wasps. There wasn't any honey.
There was. If you look really closely,
it was
the screen.
So. Oh my god! It just annoys me so fucking much because they're just taking the absolute.
It's seriously like old people going, don't like kids today's. The colours and the music,
yeah,
and the
colourful
drum and beats.
Oh, it's just a load of shit. And
no,
everyone
was
saying that
is.
Jared Leto's joke is bad. And you know what? I sent him a tweet, right? And I was like, Jared, I just want you to know that your joke was awesome and I want to see more. And then an hour later, just through his Twitter account, he just said, thanks for all the love. So people are...
he was replying to you.
Well, not to me, but to people. And I suspect that had something to do with that, you know?
Did you do it as you or Start Replay? Come on.
That's me. Bit more of a personal face to it.
Okay. You didn't want to just shove the back end of...
Look at us, we're an established
entertainment reviewing critic.
We may not
website.
Be on Metacritic or Rotten Tomatoes, but still.
I just put out a tweet saying, ignore what the critics are saying, go and see Suicide Squad, it's thoroughly enjoyable watch.
All you'd have to say is, best box office hit here for August.
What's that got to say about the movie? It's going to be interesting to see what the drop off is going to be like in the next week.
What's the next DC movie?
Wonder Woman,
and that's
next year. But I'm not too sure. This is another thing I was talking about this with Tom in the last podcast, is I don't know what to think about all these solo movies like Green Lantern, Aquaman, Flash,
I'm all for them personally.
Wonder Woman.
It gives you more time to concentrate on the backstory of, for example,
I mean, it's a cool idea,
Wonder Woman,
I just don't care.
Diana Prince. What do you know of her backstory right now from
Batman v Superman? I don't know anything.
What do you know of Batman's backstory from that one movie, what do you know of Batman's backstory?
His parents were dead.
Yeah.
That's all you know.
But that's all you know.
That's the one I'm looking forward to the most. Well, no, yeah, but
Batman
if you had a solo movie,
Batman solo movie.
Yeah, you don't see much about Wayne Enterprises.
Other than the one scene with the bills coming in, that'd be so good, Jesus. You don't see anything about the Robins.
Ben Affleck. Fuck.
It's all inferred. Same thing with Wonder Woman stuff. It was all inferred.
A Robin suit, but if you knew nothing about Batman, you wouldn't know what it was.
I always go into a movie with fresh eyes.
Zero expectations.
Yes, this is me. I'm going to take what they've given me, and from there, I'm going to give my opinion.
I am looking forward to a Green Lantern film with Geoff Johns, as head of DC.
But which Green Lantern are they doing?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be interesting.
Are they doing Hal Jordan again?
They're doing a ton of different ones, I think.
They're doing who?
Green Lantern Corpse is going to be the film name, so it's going to be.
Oh, it's going to be. Okay, cool. Well, even if they do the original Hal Jordan story with the ring handover from. Pink Alien, can't remember his name.
I've forgotten his name.
Yeah, Crash Lands Dies.
Don't be drawing up too many comparisons.
With a little bit of the Sinestro. Was that in the last Green Lantern?
Ryan Reynolds getting the ring from the Pink Alien.
Oh, really? I can't remember that then.
Ever since Batman v Superman, Warner Brothers made a dramatic change in terms of its. Structure with its creative team, introducing Ben Affleck as executive producer on Justice League, having a bit more of a creative control to make it.
I think he's just good at making films in general.
Oh yeah, no, he's amazing. He's much better than Ben Affleck. He's much better than Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder is great at visuals. He's great at making scenes look amazing, but the story and everything is a bit too
given
convoluted.
Stephen Moffat the whole reign of the show. He's good as a one episode hit wonder like House. But given the reign of a show,
you really don't like Moffat.
I do not.
I can't stand him recently.
I can't stand him at all ever.
I'm glad we've got somebody that looks like Russell T. Davis running a show now.
See, I didn't like Russell T. Davis that much because I thought he ruined the Daleks. But then Moffat raped the Daleks.
He did.
He completely went
the big fat ones. Yeah. He impregnated the Daleks. He grew big.
He did, and he coloured them with crayons. Like, can you, you dumb bitch, can you? Yeah, because I thought Russell T. Davies did bad, and then I saw that and went, okay, Russell, you're forgiven. Come back, please.
Come back now.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
But the new showrunner just looks like Russell T. Davis put on like a fake moustache.
That's what it is. He's just drawn it on. Again. Hi, I'm Davis T. Russell. Hire me.
Aside from Doctor Who stuff, I think this whole switch around with Geoff Johns being the president of DC movies now is going to change quite a bit. And of course, this came into effect whilst Batman v Superman Suicide Squad were pretty much done. So I think all the movies moving forward, it's going to be interesting to see the tone, the pacing, and everything else to those movies to see how they're going to turn out. I'd hope that this big change is actually going to. Warner are going to be like, okay, let's do something
well,
proper.
Well, Warner do normally do this. So like I said, with animated, you've got Bruce Timm. Love Bruce Timm. Who sits... He does a lot with all the animated Warner stuff, and they always turn out well. I mean, he's done stuff with Killing Joke. I don't know.
I was looking at the reviews for Flashpoint animated movie. It was 100% positive reviews.
Yeah, because it was a good movie.
It was amazing.
They didn't really hold back or anything. They were true to the comic, and they didn't shy away from.
There's a lot of violence.
Yeah, they didn't shy away from anything. They went, this is what it should be. This is what we want to provide. Yes, we understand some viewers who are a fan of the Batman, a fan of the Flash, a fan of whoever, may not like it because it shows their favourite characters doing things they might not necessarily have thought they could do or should do, but they just went for it. In the same way that Suicide Squad have.
Well, I just hope that we're going to get movies that will appeal to maybe everyone moving forward. I'm hoping that everyone's going to love DC.
I mean,
was it you, Richard, who was saying what's going to come first, a critically panned Marvel movie or a critically praised DC movie?
Or even just a DC movie above 60% or a Marvel one below 60%.
On Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Because at the moment as it goes, Marvel have me like totally locked in. I'm so excited
I've never been a fan of Marvel.
I'm so excited for the solo Spider-Man movie with Michael Keaton as the Vulture. Oh my god, it's going to be so good. And just have a...
Michael Keaton as a Birdman.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. Full circle. He's come full circle. Anything else you want to add, guys?
Not really. Solo Harley Quinn film.
Yeah, a potential solo Harley Quinn film focusing on the female.
I'm glad to see Margot Robbie actually went to the producers and said, I want this.
She wants to do it.
Yeah. I don't know if she's directing it, but she's producing it.
Yeah, she wants to write, produce, and she's really involved, and she just wants to keep doing it, which is so badass.
I saw on her birthday on set, they brought like a massive Harley Quinn cake. Yeah. And
with the comics, I think, and icing. That was great. So, I think if they did that movie, a Harley Quinn movie with the Joker alongside in a supporting role, but Harley Quinn with all the female DC villains, so Poison Ivy, Catwoman.
Come on, you can name more than that.
What are you talking about now?
Female DC villains.
Poison Ivy, Catwoman, Sapphire.
Well-known ones.
Well-known, no.
Tigress.
Tigress, yeah.
Oh no, Talia al Ghul.
You've got purple sapphire. Oh,
shit, this is really hard.
Star sapphire.
It's still hard to do. But also, Batgirl
as well.
Trying
to think of Starfire.
That'd be cool.
No, Star Sapphire.
Having
Starfire is a hero.
No, Star Sapphire is Green Lantern's enemy.
Oh, okay.
That's the.
I think it'll mainly just be Batman female villains in the Harley Quinn film.
Yeah, I think it's just gonna be Batman ones.
So, Poison Ivy and Catwoman.
That's it.
Then some Batgirl. Niche ones.
I know she's not a villain, but she'll be
okay. What about the Phantom?
Cat Lady.
Phantasm, even.
Yeah, maybe.
Batwoman.
They could include Katana. She could appear in it.
I guess.
I mean, she's an established character now. I know, but she's already appeared in Suicide Squad.
Yeah, but she's an anti-hero.
She could appear as a foil to Harley Quinn's villain.
Not really.
I think that's all we need to talk about, right?
Vive is good.
Vive, yeah. Ben had his first experience with the Vive. I put you through lots of different demos. You enjoyed it.
I did.
That's really cool. Has it solidified your intent to purchase one?
I was always going to purchase one.
Yeah, okay.
I definitely want to get it. It's going to be before the end of the year.
Oh, that'd be so cool. And then we can play multiplayer games. And then Richard has to eventually buy one if he saves up enough.
Yeah, I've got to stop buying random...
Random
stuff.
Shit.
That's what I've done.
And now, as you can clearly see, I'm getting rid of my random shit and giving it to you.
Yeah.
You've acquired Batman doll, two Batman doll like figures.
A Superman figure. I had the Batman Superman figure reenacting fan fiction from the movie.
It's going to be such a.
The bath scene and the shower scene.
The bath scene, but without Lois and with Batman.
Well, that's been episode 32. Of the Start Replay podcast. If you want to talk to us, reach us at Start Replay on Twitter. That's the easiest way to do it, quickest place to do it. We're heading to Gamescom. Well, Ben, myself, and Tom, unfortunately Richard isn't joining us, but we're heading to Gamescom next week, which is going to be quite interesting. We'll probably do a podcast when we're back, because screw having to fit a podcast in amidst the kind of calm waters which will be Gamescom.
We're going to have our anuses checked.
Oh yeah,
every 5 seconds.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting security checks. But thank you for listening, Ben, Richard.
No Man's Sky is looking good.
Oh yeah, No Man's Sky. You're very excited for
No
Man's
Sky. I'm going to go home and sit and wait until midnight and go.
No, it's out now.
It's out on the 9th. 10th, sorry.
9th today.
10th.
10th it's out.
Tenth. Oh, is it 10th in the UK?
10th in the UK.
Yeah, 9th in
the UK. 9th in Europe and South America.
That's probably why I didn't get my promo copy today. That makes sense.
So as soon as it's midnight, I'm getting that thing straight up and running.
That's going to be interesting. I'm excited now. I hope my promo copy comes in raw mail.
Mine's all downloaded. It's on my PS4. It's good to go. I'm just waiting to hit that bloody button.
Shit. I'm looking forward to that.
Is that why you're off work today and tomorrow?
No, not necessarily.
I hope your copy doesn't come until like the 18th.
Oh, fuck off.
When we're in Germany. And then they go, no one was here to accept it and take it back.
Yeah. No, luckily, with most promo copies, I don't need to sign for, so I just post it through. So yeah, that's going to be exciting. I'm sure there'll be a podcast that we'll do exclusively on No Man's Sky, because our podcast will be umpteen million hours long.
And I'm sure we'll be able to find one of the 18 quintillion planets.
We have to meet up.
We'll give you an update of...
We have to figure out how long it's going to take us. We have to guess how long it's going to take from launch day for us to meet up. How long do you think it's going to take?
Days of play in, or hours?
Yeah,
hours
of play.
Hours of play. Okay, I'd say 20
hours. 20 hours?
20 hours.
100 hours.
20 hours of all of us playing.
I think
it's
going to take...
It's all book Wednesday, often do it.
I think it's going to take like 30 hours. It's going to take a long time.
Well, it took someone who had an early copy 30 hours of play to get to the Central Universe.
Yeah.
But they've said they're releasing a day one patch, which is going to make the universe up to 10 times bigger.
Yeah, no, they've been doing a lot just whilst it's been waiting to be released.
Yeah. And they're also
not
making
a big patch,
ecosystems.
You know, they're just going to...
Well, this patch is massive.
Have you seen the
release notes on it?
Yeah. Well, I haven't looked too deep because there are a lot of spoilers in it, but...
I do keep on top of like stuff like this. I read up on, go, ooh, they've made it so that the rotation of planets is slower because apparently it was messing with people.
Oh,
because apparently people were like, when you land on a planet, obviously you've got to get resources and stuff. If it's spinning too fast and you've got no more fuel, trying to land on the right place was a bit of an issue.
Right.
So
okay,
they've slowed it down.
So yeah. We will see you soon in a couple of weeks, in a few weeks, probably. So goodbye from me, goodbye from Ben.
We'll see you post
post Gamescom.
Okay, post Gamescom.
And goodbye from Richard.
Pip pip cheerio.
Goodbye.
Au revoir.
Bye.